The name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. It is through a fortunate set of circumstances that we today generally say back to the evangelist today, at the time that we also have our minds and our hearts filled with thoughts of releasing placement of hoping and the sign of his heart. That's an opportunity to take a look in a very special way at a young man and at a worker for our Lord Jesus Christ, James Mark, the evangelist. This young man, as you probably have noticed repeatedly, carved into our altar, is that of a green lion. And as you see the young James Mark, we get the impression immediately that he is neither a lion nor a wolf. There is a transformation that is taking place in the life of this man, and it is a transformation with which you and I can identify completely. We don't know too much about that youth. We do know, however, that he came from a story after his home. We know his mother, his name is Mary, and he was frequently given her home, where his young congregation in Jerusalem was gathering with the Christians to use for their worship services. In fact, as Jesus said, when Peter had been in prison, and in a most miraculous way, he was a human relief, and as astonished as he was, and somewhat bewildered, he walked out and came to the home of John Mark. Left on the door, and the entire company of Christians who had been very busy and involved and praying for Peter's relief. Couldn't believe that the prayer had been answered. To John Mark's home because you see that the Christians had gathered there and we ourselves can take back to the inferred of James Mark knew the disciples, particularly to the original relation to become identified rather closely later on intimately as well. But there's another incident. And that is the one that took place on Pentecost, when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed in the garden. Although this young man is not identified, he is often given the name of John Mark. And he came to the garden to see what all the ruckus was about. What all the lanterns and the torches and the yelling and the shouting and the confusion. That was the man, willing to ask his king to observe. And when the king grabbed that willing cloth, he rushed his king and he ran him closer. There was a spirit of silence that followed. And then Paul and Barnabas are to go for the first missionary journey. From Antioch, and this young man, John Mark, the son of the sister side of it, accompanies them. And as they come to Cyprus, which was the home of Barnabas, they conduct their mission activities and then move on to Troas in Pamphylia. And there we are informed. It is very simple here where John left them and went back to Jerusalem. And what a pleasure this has been. Why did John Mark leave Paul and Barnabas on that journey? Had he feared too much of the persecution that they had already experienced by that time? Did he decide I'm sure you will be okay. But this is not the way he is going to tell you to get rid. If he thinks back to those wonderful days when he lived with his mother in Jerusalem, and they did not have to camp out and suffer from the wind and the weather, whatever it was, John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem, as we have from our group in the 15th chapter of Acts. And then Paul and Barnabas, after they had reported to the church in Jerusalem, initiated the second missionary journey. And as they were engaged in the preparations, one time here, Uncle Paul, realizing that Uncle Barnabas told the sisters, let me back on that journey, he said, now, just a minute, not stay out of it. We cannot use this. Keep them away from this journey. We read about that in Acts 15. After a while, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and visit our fellow Christians in every town where we told them that the Lord's word, and let's see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take along John, his child Mark. Paul thought it best not to take the man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them into the world. They disagreed so sharply they separated. And Barnabas taking Mark along singing the name of disciples. But Paul stayed silent and scattered out his fellow Christians and questioned him to the Lord's love. In those circumstances, what would you have done? Because Mark had made one mistake and that drew him out. Was he to be considered untrustworthy forever? Was Barnabas really defending his nephew because he was a blood relative and wanted to protect the family name? Was Paul afraid to have another journey when he wanted to depend upon a young man and had found him to be unreliable? What is interesting particularly is the word that they keep using. And that is that they had Paul and Barnabas had got the guilty of persevering. They disagreed so closely that they were involved in a corrupt vision, our only privilege to do. But then many, many years later, we read about that man's reconciliation of the church. There was the power of the gospel that had transformed them, that had changed the lives of each one of them. And the demonstrably, that had changed the life of John Mark. Whatever his reasons may have been, he got out at a future moment. And it had transformed the mind and the will and the hope and aspiration of a Saint Paul. And he had become a forgiving Saint Paul. But so we know that regardless of what stage we may be able to identify ourselves, even John Mark, that the power of the gospel can transform us in an equal way. I'm sure that in the lives of each one of us, there has been some very, very deep and self-critical dreaming that we have experienced, a correct vision of disagreement. I'm sure that there has been moments of fear and of Christ that has whispered. Or of indecision, I cannot do homework, I can only go back to it. I'm sure that there have been those moments when you and I here good to this world of food and of health and of luxury. But I like to read, as St. Paul writes to Timothy, another young converted of his, in the first chapter, second letter. I am now being sacrificed and it's time for me to leave. I fought the good fight, I ran the race, I kept the faith. Now there is waiting for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but all who love to see him come again. He will back to come to me soon, he writes to Timothy. Demons fell in love with the world, vividly and went to Thessalonica. And as they told him writing those words, one, I'm sure, is certain that he thought of another young man many years earlier who had gone back to Jerusalem. Lincoln's wife of Galatia, Titus to Galatia, only Luther's wisdom. And then those marvelous words, get back and be familiar, because he's a good gift to me in my work. I can put it just to get it. And when we can bring that warm faith, I left his heart in prayer and the story reflecting the heart. The life of St. Paul in that dark dungeon in Rome, that is unity, that is companionship, that is support of a young man who he had once decided to work with. He needed that special hope that he had left behind previously. He wanted his husband, his soul, so that he could continue. Just mark and bring him his way, because he is good help to me in my work. Colleagues and friends, isn't it marvelous how our Lord has revealed the life of the saints with our strength and weaknesses? It has demonstrated in a most unusual fashion the power of the gospel, that he makes and changes and transforms each one of us, regardless of the stance in which we find ourselves. We too have made some pretty terrible, regrettable decisions, based sometimes on factors and reasons that have become pretty insignificant. But it is Christ and his cross that changes us. That you and I too, who may return to Jerusalem in the middle of a very gigantic task and responsibility, as he takes us so that we become surely for the head in the Lord's work. John Mark was transformed. You and I are also in the process of being transformed through the gospel. We became Mark the Evangelist, the reed liar. May that too be the story